4. We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you with us for this hour, for this brand new edition of the program. And we do have a guest in the first segment a familiar voice on the network. But before we jump to our guest, I do want to turn our attention to the scripture. We're in Proverbs chapter 6, and we're towards the end of the chapter in verses 34 and 35. We talked about this a little bit on Monday. Verse 34 and 35, "For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be satisfied, though you may give him many gifts." And so this is talking about a jealous man. And the point that I made on Monday was that when someone is struggling with a heart issue, it doesn't matter what you do, you can't satisfy it. You cannot satisfy the sin issue here. So the jealousy, it says the jealous man, doesn't matter what you give him. You could give him the world. You could give him $1 million. If the heart is not addressed, then there is no resolution. So that's why we need God. That's why we need Jesus to address the heart issue. And in this case, the scripture is using a jealous man as the example. So that's Proverbs chapter 6, verse 34 and 35. Ed Vitagliano, co-host of Today's Issues and has been for a long time now, and executive vice president here at AFA. He's in studio with us. Ed, welcome.
Hey, great to be here.
I don't know that. Thank you, Bobby. We do that. Bobby does that just to see how I respond.
That's the first time. It's inaugural.
Yeah.
Listen, I like that. I didn't know we were allowed to do that on AFR.
Well, when Bobby's a producer, you can kind of do whatever you want. But I don't know that you've ever been on At the Core. If you have, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's probably I can't remember. It's long enough ago that I can't remember. So that
that's
could be
good.
That could be last
that's
week.
That's at least 6 months.
Oh, that's given me some credit in terms of
no,
my memory.
No, I know you. If you've been on, you haven't been on in a long time.
Yeah,
I can tell you that much.
That's safe.
And
safe.
So you're usually on Today's Issues. And one of the things that you helped participate in is our Activate curriculum.
Yes.
And this was a brainchild of my brother Wesley and the rest of the team here. They put it together. We've got multiple professors, we call them, that contribute to the Activate curriculum, which is now available over at activate.afa.net. Well, to go along with the curriculum, we're actually going to have a summit this summer, June 12th through the 14th. Ed is one of the main session speakers. We've got a couple others, Todd Herman, Alex McFarland, Frank Turek.
Yep,
Frank Turek.
Abe Hamilton.
Yep. So there's about four or five main session speakers, and then we'll do some breakout sessions and the kids track. But Ed, you're speaking in the main session, so give us a little glimpse and whet the appetite for those who may be thinking about coming.
Well, I will be, now for the whole conference, for the whole summit, of course, the subject is, the title of the summit is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. My particular session is going to be about the authority of Scripture and false prophets. The church had to deal with at its inception, and for 2,000 years has had to deal with false prophets, false teachers. Jesus warned of this. The apostles warned of it. In fact, last year in my Sunday school class that I taught at church, I was dealing with the subject of truth and error, and I was actually surprised at how many of the books of the Bible deal with heresy, heretical teachings, false teachers, false prophets. And I am going to expand it a little bit beyond just scriptural false teaching and bring to bear some of the false teachings that parents have to deal with and that we have to deal with in our culture and in politics. One of the things I've noticed, and I mentioned this in my Sunday school class on numerous occasions, is that none of us, I would hope, would invite a known false teacher into our living room and sit our kids down, and in my case, a wife, and say, okay, we're going to listen to this false teaching. But Christian parents do it all the time with media and entertainment. They let people who don't like God, who hate God, or who could care less about God, enter their homes and teach things that are antithetical to Scripture and are an affront to God. So I will expand that idea a little bit and talk about why the Word of God is so important in directing our lives, because we can really find ourselves in a spiritual swamp if we're not careful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I can tell you firsthand, folks, that this is going to be good, and it's not just because Ed's going to be speaking and a couple others, but I've watched the curriculum. My Sunday school class is going through the Activate curriculum now, and Ed opened up the entire curriculum with at least the first two sessions. Videos are about the authority of Scripture and how, and it's a case against moral relativism and in favor of absolute truth coming from the Word of God. So this is going to be a great event, and anyone who has taken a sneak peek over at the Activate curriculum, what we're going to do over the next few years is we're going to take each year, each summit, and we're going to take a unit and a topic and focus on it. And so this year, of course, we're going to start out with our theme, Biblical Bedrock Building on the Authority of Scripture, as our basis, and then from that we'll build on it with some other more focused topics as well. Ed, you're going to, let's talk a little bit about what you just mentioned about false teachers, and see, I want to get your thoughts on something, because when you said that was going to be an area you're focused on, it immediately triggered kind of some thoughts in my mind. The Scripture is clear about the end times, as far as it doesn't, the Scripture says that no man knows the day and the time of which Christ will return, but the end times are frequently talked about. I mean, that's what Revelation basically is about, is expecting the end times. But I have noticed that a lot of believers, and I think these people are true believers, I think they just get a little bit sidetracked. They hone in and they focus heavily on end times, and almost to such a degree that they don't even focus on their current mandate, the current right. Great Commission mandate. And they're basically kind of this fatalistic, Jesus is coming, so what does it matter type approach. So what is, as you look into this subject, and I know your session is going to be probably more expansive than this, but what's a healthy balance between understanding that, hey, we're living in the end times, Jesus will come back, he will establish his kingdom, but yet I still have a role to do as a believer? What's a healthy balance?
Yeah, that's a great question. So two things I would say right off the top of my head. When someone says to me, listen, Jesus is coming back, it's probably in our lifetime, it's all going to burn, so why should we be involved with politics? My first question to them is, because if that's the way they live the entirety of their lives, okay, fine, that's wonderful. But I ask them, I usually, it's three questions. I'll say, if your roof leaks, do you fix it? If your car makes a noise, do you take it to the mechanic? If you feel a pain in your body, do you go to the doctor? And if they say yes to any or all those questions, I say, why? It's all going to burn. Okay. Yeah. So why are you spending time working on something that won't last forever, but you won't fix your culture? Okay. So that's the first thing I say. If you let your roof leak because Jesus is coming back, if you let your car continue to run rough because Jesus is coming back, fine. Then I accept your reasoning for not being involved in politics and culture. But if you fix what you value in your own personal life, I don't know why you don't fix what's valuable to us as a culture.
Yeah.
The second thing I would say, that's just kind of reasoning your way to a proper perspective.
Yeah.
But biblical perspective would be the parable that Jesus taught when he talked about his servant running, a man leaves to go on a long trip. He leaves his servant over his household, and he comes back unexpectedly, and he punishes those who, when the master was gone, did not live according to the will of the master, but he rewards the servant who lived in the absence of the master, lived in accordance with his will. So I would say to people, okay, let's say Jesus does come back in our generation. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's he going to find you doing when you come back?
Yeah.
Do you love your neighbor? Are you going to let them fall into the pit of hell? Are you going to allow a government, if you live in a blue state, maybe, are you not going to speak up if the government wants to teach children this LGBTQ nonsense?
Yeah.
Some parents will say, well, I homeschool my kids. Okay, so you don't love your neighbor's kids? You're just going to hand them over? So I think Christians ought to say, what is a Christian supposed to do with their lives? It's preach the gospel, but also teach the truth of God's word. And if Jesus comes back in our generation, may he find us doing what we're commanded to do.
Yeah.
So the fact that Jesus might return in our generation is no excuse to take your foot off the gas. We should be about the master's business.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that reminds me of one of our other core values, of which will be a topic, Lord willing, in the coming years for one of our summits. By the way, we're talking to Ed Vitagliano, one of our executive vice presidents here, also co-host on Today's Issues, Trivia Friday. Many of you have heard his voice over the years, and he's going to be one of our main session speakers at the summit. So we're talking about the Activate Summit coming up in June, the 12th through the 14th. I don't want to get too sidetracked here. And then Whitney, Ed's daughter-in-law, who's directing the conference, calls me and says, hey, you had Ed on and you didn't even talk about the conference. Y'all got two in the weeds.
I don't want to get in trouble with her either.
No, so June 12th through the 14th, Activate Summit 2025 coming up this summer in Tupelo, Cadence Bank Conference Center. We would love for you to join us. We do have a kids track, 6 through 12 is that age group. Everybody 13 and up. The main session is going to be age appropriate for 13 and up. So the teens can go in with the parents or the grandparents and sit in and listen to Ed and some of the others in the main session. Activate.afa.net. But the last thing I'll say, Ed, is that goes well in what you're talking about, really gets into stewardship and how we steward our lives and how we steward our time. And it's important that we don't get so fatalistic, if you will, or so set that we believe that that Jesus is going to return in my lifetime or in the next 10 years. And I've even had people that are believers tell me that, you know, I had a dream and I had a dream that Jesus was going to return in my lifetime. And I can't vouch for their dream. I don't know whether they had a dream or not. Maybe they did. And I also can't say, well, your dream wasn't inspired, because I don't know whether it was inspired or not. Now, if it clearly counters scripture, then of course, then you're getting into being able to, you know, call something a false teaching. But my point in all of this is that the stewardship principle, which is one of our core values, really teaches that we're called to be good stewards of not just our money, but our resources and our time, and that includes stewarding our lives in a way that honors God. To your point, if the master were to show up tomorrow, what would we be doing? Would we be sharing the gospel? Would we be discipling others? Would we be pointing our children towards the gospel and towards Jesus? Would we be taking care of things in a way that honors God? So stewardship is a part of that as well. And I think if you have a proper understanding of end times and false teaching and stewardship, it helps you live a healthy, balanced life that honors God and has maximum impact. All right, Ed, thanks so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, that's a little sneak peek into some of the topics that Ed's going to be discussing at our Activate Summit coming up this summer in just a few months. Activate Summit, biblical bedrock building on the authority of Scripture. If you come, you'll get to listen to Ed Vitagliano, Todd Herman, Alex McFarlane, Dr. Frank Turek, Abraham Hamilton III, and then we'll have some breakout sessions. Activate Kids is 6 through 12, so you can bring the kids as well. 5 and under are free. All of the pricing is at activate.afa.net. Activate.afa.net. We'll be back in a few. Yeah.
This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
At the Core podcasts are available at afr.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Second segment now underway. Walker Wildman here with you on American Family Radio. The show name is At the Core, and we do our best to get to the core of the issues of our day from a biblical perspective. We also, for the context of the nation that we live in, we look at the Constitution, our founding fathers' writings. That's what Rick Green is an expert in. He's called America's Constitution Coach for a reason. And we do all of this to inspire, to uplift, encourage, and challenge you, our listening audience. And we try not to spend a lot of time on the fluff. We try not to spend a lot of time on the cotton candy, if you will, of our culture. And we try to focus in on things that actually matter to advancing godly values and the gospel in our country and around the world. All right, focusing in on a few other topics. By the way, we did have Ed Vitagliano in with us in the last segment. If you heard a little bit of that, well, great. Thank you for listening. And we would love for you to come to the Activate Summit this summer. Activate.afa.net is that URL. June 12th through the 14th are the dates. 5 and under are free. And 13 and up are ticketed at the same price of $75 because they're all eligible for the main session. All right, eligible for the main session. And then 6 to 12 have their own price category as well. So you can check all that out at activate.afa.net. The story I want to cover this segment has to do with the Department of Health and Human Services. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is now the director, now the secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. And he's bringing some revolutionary changes to the department. And some of this stuff takes time, and we're going to talk about it. But it's undeniable, and this is one of his main talking points over the years. It's undeniable that Americans' health is declining from a variety of factors, from a variety of categories, if you will. But overall, Americans, the health of Americans has been declining. Life expectancy has been going down slightly. Young people, children are sicker. We're giving more shots and more vaccines than we've ever given, and we're doling out more meds than we've ever doled out, and Americans aren't better off from a health perspective. We're not better off. And then another area that RFK Jr. has honed in on is autism, and he and President Trump were talking about this the other day, and how autism, the rates have skyrocketed over the last generation. The rates have skyrocketed to such a degree where when RFK Jr. talks about, the Secretary Kennedy talks about how when he was growing up, the autism rate was about 1 in 10,000 growing up, about 1 in 10,000. And then now the autism rate is 1 in 31. And yes, you heard the numbers right. We went from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 31 diagnosed with autism. And there are some folks that will say, well, we've got better detection capability. Well, okay, that might be true to a certain degree, but that's not going to take it from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 31. And the health secretary actually addresses this myth that, well, we've got better surveillance on diagnosing. Well, okay, let's just say that may affect it by a couple percentage points, maybe. But it's not going to take it from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 31. And when you look at males, look at boys, 1 in 20 have autism. This is astonishing. And unfortunately, because of conflicts of interest, because of kickbacks, because of lobbying, because of corporate profit. The health agency and health agencies have not properly investigated this stuff. This is shocking. Why has this stuff not been thoroughly investigated from the highest levels of government? And so Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has pledged to look into this and actually release a report specifically on autism by September of this year. And the way that they're going to be able to do this so fast is because some folks have already looked into this. Maybe not the health department. Maybe not the Department of Health and Human Services, but others have already looked into this. There's a lot of knowns about this. It just hasn't been authenticated, if you will, or verified by the Department of Health and Human Services. So let's listen to this. This is about a two-minute clip of RFK Jr., the health secretary, at a press conference this week, talking about the drastic increase in autism and some of the factors that he believes are contributing to it. Clip three.
In 2009, the California State Legislature charged the Mind Institute at UC Davis with because this myth was already becoming pervasive, the myth of epidemic denial was already becoming pervasive in the mainstream media. The California legislature directed the Mind Institute at UC Davis to answer the question. And Irva Hertz-Pachoto is a highly esteemed, revered scientist, neurology, and epidemiologist, came back with a definitive answer. The epidemic is real. Only a very, very small portion of it can be changed, can be charged to better recognition or better diagnostic criteria. I want to say a couple of other things. There are many, many other studies that affirm this. And instead of listening to this canard of epidemic denial, all you have to do is start reading a little science, because the answer is very clear. And this is catastrophic for our country. There's a recent study by Blaxell et al. And a team of other researchers that said that the cost of treating autism in this country by 2035, so within 10 years, will be $1 trillion a year. This is added to already astronomical health care costs. And then there's an individual injury. These are kids that, this is a preventable disease. We know it's an environmental exposure. It has to be. Genes do not cause epidemics. They can provide a vulnerability. You need an environmental toxin. And Irva Hertz-Pachoto pointed out that because of this mythology, that the amount of money and resources put into studying genetic causes, which is a dead end, has been historically 10 to 20 times the amount spent by NIH and other agencies to study environmental factors, to study exposures, to study external factors, and that's where we're going to find the answer.
Yeah, so the health secretary there is talking, and by the way, he can, if anybody can speak to this, it's RFK Jr. This guy's been doing this a long time. He's been doing this a long time. And he's saying that basically the government's been funding these studies that are looking at the genetic connection to autism, which, as he says, is a dead-end street. Instead, what they haven't been looking at largely is environmental factors and toxins, which is what he's pledging to do here. And to that point, let's just look at the number of shots that kids are getting nowadays. I mean, this is insane. It's infuriating. So kids might get up to, this is according to a recent report, children may receive, this is assuming you elect to have your child participate, have them submitted to these shots, immunizations. Children may receive up to 24 immunizations by age 2, while some might receive as many as 27 shots. Some children might receive up to 6 shots in a single visit. These immunizations protect against roughly 16 what they call vaccine-preventable diseases. But just think about the body of a child. And think about what the body goes through having being introduced to all of these different immunizations. This can't be healthy. But if you ask any questions, then they say, you're anti-vax. Well, no, I'm not anti-vax. I'm asking a question. I haven't made any declaratory statements. I'm simply talking about raising the question, is it healthy? Is it normal for a developing body of a child to be introduced to 24 separate immunizations? Or let's just say, even if it's 15, technically 15 separate immunizations, but some of the immunizations have multiple rounds of shots. Is that normal for a 3-year-old, for a 4-year-old, for a 5-year-old body to have to process all that? And by the way, are we still looking at the efficacy of this stuff? Like, okay, let's say it got approved in 1984, or it got approved in 1997 by the FDA. What kind of renewal process do we have here? Now, do we just assume because it got approved 30 years ago that this stuff's still safe and effective? And then the other question is, once you've eradicated a disease, at what point do we pull it off the schedule? Well, it might come back, Walker. Well, okay, that's the case with everything. It might come back. Okay, maybe. We don't know that. Maybe. So at what point do we pull it off the schedule? Because if we're still vaccinating kids for a disease from the 60s, and it hasn't been detected in a couple of decades, then what on earth are we doing here? When you take other medications, do you take it even after you're well just because it might come back? No, you don't. You stop taking it because your body has to return to normal operating, to normal functions. And there's long-term consequences to continuing to take medications that are no longer needed in your body. And so that's another thing that we're going to have to look at, because at this rate, the standard operating procedure for the CDC, for the FDA, for the Department of Health and Human Services, the normal operating procedure for the pharmaceutical industry is to add shots to the schedule and never take any off. And this is how we get 15, 18, 20 immunizations. Is when every 3 years that some company says, we need to add a shot to the schedule. Let's add RSV to this is the new thing, RSV and COVID. Let's add RSV to the schedule. Oh, okay. Well, what about the shots that were still given from the 70s? What are we going to do with it? We're just going to leave it on there. But we're not just going to leave it on there as a recommendation. We're going to leave it on there as a requirement. Well, the CDC can't require shots. Well, you're right. But they do highly recommend them to the states, and they tether money to the shot requirements to the states. So it's more or less a de facto requirement. States are following whatever the CDC says because we've idolized the CDC. And we're leaving shots on there for decades, and we're not taking them off. And I don't even know that they're having a discussion about taking shots off the schedule. And things aren't getting better. Like, it's one thing if we're doing all of this and we're the best we've ever been. We've got kids that are being diagnosed as diabetic and through non-genetic means. That's because they're eating junk, folks. When you have healthy young children are being diagnosed with some of these things, it is just mind-boggling. And so it's not as if we're doing the best we've ever been, and there's no reason to look at all this. Folks, we're the worst we've ever been, at least since we've been tracking all this stuff. And that's why this stuff has to be investigated. Let's listen to this last clip on this subject. This is also RFK Jr. talking about environmental toxins and how they are likely causing autism. Clip four.
Within 3 weeks, and probably we're hoping in 2 weeks, we're going to announce a series of new studies to identify precisely what the environmental toxins are that are causing it. This has not been done before, and we're going to do it in a thorough and comprehensive way, and we're going to get back to with an answer to the American people very, very quickly.
Well, that's RFK Jr. Committing to have a report back by September on the potential environmental toxins that are contributing to the drastic increase in autism rates. This is one of those fields, folks. Once you start looking at it, it's not good. Once you start doing some due diligence on this stuff, it is not a good look. And one example is, my wife and I just started paying attention to what's in the food that we're eating. And this could be a rabbit trail. We could do a whole show on this. And we've actually interviewed folks on some of this stuff. But we look at like a bag of chips, or I'm not going to say any brand names, but we look at, you know, a bag of chips or something, and look at all of the ingredients. And RFK Jr. has been talking about this for way longer than I have. He's been doing this for decades. And you look at Europe's standards and our standards. Folks, there's so much just artificial stuff in our foods. That's just all there is to it. There's just so much artificial junk and chemicals in our foods that there's no way that stuff can be good for you, especially over long, sustained periods of time. And and that's probably one thing contributing. We know the sugary drinks and a lot of the artificial additives are contributing to some of our children's health issues. So all of this has to be looked at, folks. All of this has to be looked at. What are we putting into our bodies? What are the effects of it? And is it best for the public to be consuming this type of stuff? We'll be back.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to the program here on American Family Radio. As Bobby and I are here in the studio, we're watching, as President Trump would call it, fake news CNN. And we've got, to Bobby's credit, we've got multiple outlets going up here. We've got Fox, we've got MSNBC, but CNN's going up here. And Bobby, one thing we're noticing as I'm talking about this autism study, as I'm talking about RFK Jr., they're covering it on CNN. And let me just say this before I pitch it to Bobby. This is why there's no need to watch CNN. You can just listen to AFR, because we're covering the stuff. The legacy media, their media model, which I actually covered in the first week of the Trump administration, their media model is outdated. They're behind. So the stuff we're talking about here, we're usually talking about it at the same time or before they are, and we're bringing you the truth. They're bringing propaganda, Bobby, because they're having on the so-called experts, but what they're not telling you is that the experts, not all, but many of them, are bought and paid for by special interest groups and companies.
Yeah, they're already on the payroll. They're on the dole. It's not necessarily the government dole. But
It could be special interest groups, lobbyists. That's right.
Could be Maine Big Farmer.
Yeah.
Could be, we won't specify
major food companies. Yeah. Major drink companies.
But it's like nobody can get behind him. We know we have a problem.
Yeah.
The statistics are very clear, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
So why can't we make a concerted effort to say,
what's
we
going
need
on
to
here?
Get, that's right. We need to get the bottom line of this for our children's sake and our grandchildren's sake.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple, but no.
Yeah.
Everything's a conspiracy.
Yeah. And Bobby, what I've noticed is a lot of these folks are out of touch.
Very much so.
I mean, if you go out in middle America and you just look around, my heart breaks for a lot of these folks, but our health is terrible.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, you look around and you see, you know, all kinds of stuff But these talking heads to just basically be dismissive and say, oh, everything's fine.
Right.
No problem here. We don't need to investigate anything. is to completely be in denial of reality.
Just adhere to our vax schedule. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Proof in the pudding, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, folks, one other note on this topic, and this is just something I came across. A lot of folks that are listening probably are very familiar with this. They probably know more than I do. But I just started learning within the last 12 to 24 months the connection between cancer growth and sugars, and especially added sugars.
Ooh, now you're in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, Bobby, this and when you read, the science is undisputed that they won't say that sugar causes cancer. They won't necessarily link that, but it definitely, they all agree, many of the scientists agree that it fuels the cancer.
Absolutely.
And I go and look, Bobby, on these soft drinks. And by the way, we live in a free country, all right? So I understand we have to be careful here about government regulation versus individual liberty, and I'm not about more government, but I am about the truth being known.
Amen.
And these sodas, Bobby, I look on the back of them, for example, I had one the other day. I think it said 80% of my daily value in sugar, yeah, and added sugar was in this one soda. I mean, probably 8-12 ounces maybe.
Well, everybody knows that straight up sugary sodas contain tons and tons of processed sugar.
Yes.
And
there's a difference between added and natural sugar.
Correct. And what they may not know is a cancer cell consumes 15 times the energy that a normal healthy cell consumes.
Hmm.
So look that one up, folks. 15 times, and that's why cancer is so proliferant right now, is because it has a huge appetite. But the beauty is you stem that appetite and the cancer cells die. That's right. Scientific fact.
Yeah. Yeah, cancer cells, this is from a physician I'm looking at here. Cancer cells tend to consume glucose, which is sugar, at a much higher rate than normal cells.
Yep.
So, but that was something new to me over the last few years as I started looking into the cancer and what fuels it. But these added sugars, these processed sugars, are just absolutely terrible for you. And
when we lost Christian to it, we found that out a little bit too late.
Yeah, that was Denise's son. So we've got to get this stuff out there. And I'll say we, when we're paying billions of dollars for this so-called Department of Health and Human Services, and our health is in the gutter, we need to be asking questions about where is our money going here, all right? Where is our money going here? And I don't want to say, oh, we've got a new treatment. We've got a new shot. We've got a new dosage. We've got a new pill. No. We got plenty of pharmaceuticals out there, and I am thankful for the innovation that we have in the healthcare industry and the pharmaceutical industry. There's a lot of breakthrough that our country has made with modern medicine. So it's not all negative, but my point here is that this has become a multi-billion, probably actually over a trillion now at this point, a multi-trillion dollar industry that is healthcare, health insurance, and the pharmaceuticals. And there's a lot of conflicted people in the game that don't have your best interest at heart. And so we've got to get our health agencies that are supposed to be looking out for you and me back focused on figuring out what on earth is going on with America's epidemic of health issues and health woes. And that's what RFK Jr. is focused on. And we appreciate that. And we're going to keep covering it and have folks on to talk about this stuff as well. All right, changing gears a little bit. This one's a doozy. Never did I think, I knew the Democrats were in pretty bad shape. Never did I think that a Democrat lawmaker in the U.S. Senate would be lobbying for an MS-13 gang member to be brought back to the U.S. This is the illegal immigrant that was illegally residing in Maryland, and he was deported by the Trump administration. He had multiple immigration court rulings against him, and the Democrats are going to bat for this MS-13 member. I mean, this is absolutely mind-boggling. The U.S. senator from Maryland, of which nobody's heard of until this week, and maybe this is why he's trying to make a stunt, Senator Chris Van Hollen, he is going to bat for MS-13, folks. He is flying to El Salvador to bring back home the MS-13 gang member. Let's listen.
I'm here at the airport. I'm about to board my flight for San Salvador. The goal of this mission is to let the Trump administration, to let the government of El Salvador know that we are going to keep fighting to bring Abrego Garcia home until he returns to his family. I hope to meet with representatives of the government. I hope to have the chance to actually see Kilmar and see what his condition is. But we are going to keep fighting because this is a miscarriage of justice. The Supreme Court has ruled 9-0, that he was illegally taken out of the country and put in a prison in El Salvador. And this is about due process. This is about rule of law. What bullies do is they begin by picking on the most vulnerable. But if we get rid of the rule of law and due process in the United States, it's a short road from there to tyranny.
Yeah, if we get rid of due process, it's a short road. Well, we want to talk about due process?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about due process. Thank you for bringing up this constitutional topic. And I wish we had Rick on. But what about the due process of the parents that showed up at school board meetings under Biden's watch? And we had the FBI and the DOJ creating a database. What about the due process of Americans who are also Catholic, and they were going to church, they were going to mass, and the FBI and the DOJ was surveilling their churches, and they were creating a database of who the most loyal Catholics were? What about that? What about that due process? What about American citizens that have been added to the no-fly list without their knowledge, and they only find out when they show up to the airport, and they can't fly? What about that due process? What about the American citizens that are being deplatformed and debanked because their ideology doesn't match up with the corporation running the show or with somebody in Washington, D.C., and they had their complete life destroyed over false allegations and false characterizations? So I'm glad we're talking about due process, but the problem here is Democrats only care about due process if it's them or if it's an illegal immigrant. And I have a fundamental problem with this MO, with this operating procedure where we treat the illegals better than we treat the American citizens. And their priorities are completely out of order. This was an illegal immigrant, an actual citizen of El Salvador, so he's actually been repatriated back to his home country. That is the only place where he has valid citizenship, because that's where he was born. He doesn't have citizenship in America. He was ordered to be arrested, detained, and deported by an immigration court. And we've got a U.S. citizen, as American citizens are dying on our streets from fentanyl overdoses because we can't control our own borders and the cartels are running the show, and law enforcement's in over their head because they're having to babysit, they're having to go after the gangs, they're having to do it all. Oh, and they got to be careful because, you know, if something goes south and they're going to get sued, they're going to get charged criminally, the Democrats are going to make a spectacle of it, CNN's going to show up, they're going to dox their house. So the officers, they got to be careful. They got to walk on eggshells here. Because who wants to have the whole George Floyd thing happen again, right? They'll burn down the city. But we have time as a U.S. senator on our tax dollars to fly to El Salvador and try to repatriate someone who isn't an American citizen back to our homeland. For what?
Right. And just for the record, SCOTUS voted 9-0
in favor of Trump
to facilitate
correct
in as much as possible. And we all know it's not possible.
No. And the court ruling came down when the flight was over international waters.
That's right.
And the last time I checked, a U.S. district court judge has absolutely zero jurisdiction over international waters. And anybody who argues otherwise is a complete, I'm not going to say an unnice word in case we've got kids listening, but this, folks, this is elementary stuff here. This is elementary stuff. And the fact that we've got courts and we've got U.S. senators going to bat for political reasons, I just say have at it. I don't think it's right. But if these folks want to destroy their name, destroy their reputation, and destroy their party over MS-13 members, oh, okay, go for it. Because that's why you got shellacked at the last election. Because you guys are a bunch of bozos who only care about your own interest and the interest of the criminals and those who want to take down our country. And that pretty much sums up Biden. I mean, this is why Biden came before the microphone and he lied to you and me. And he said, quote, I don't have anything, I don't have any control over the border. I'm going to have to get Congress involved here. I've done all that I can do, he said. We're going to have to get Congress involved. No, it turns out you didn't need Congress involved. You needed the White House involved. But this is absolutely baffling, folks. Absolutely baffling. So a U.S. senator from Maryland is going down to the southern, not the southern border. They won't go there. He's going down to El Salvador to try to retrieve an MS-13 non-citizen. Bobby, this is, could you have made this up?
No. He's going to San Salvador, which is
the capital.
So, yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
This might be going to El Paso and saying I went to the border. So we'll see.
But thankfully, we have a friendly administration in El Salvador.
Yeah, exactly.
Who just visited the White House this week. And this is the Democrat Party of 2025, folks. I mean, they got nothing to run on. This is it. This is it. This is the spectacle that they're creating. And American citizens have been neglected. We've been neglected. And I don't like to kind of play the grievance game because we're not all victims here. We've all got responsibilities. We've got to vote. We've got to be engaged. The reason our country is in this position that we're in is because we got way too many citizens that are eligible to vote that are sitting on the sideline. All right. But at the same time, U.S. lawmakers that are duly elected by their citizens are also responsible for their actions. And you've got illegal immigrants murdering American citizens, even in the state of Maryland, where the senator's from. And he's got nothing to say about that, but he wants to take his time, energy, and our tax dollars and fly down to El Salvador so we can bring MS-13 back to America. I mean, this is pretty much the motto. This should be the campaign slogan of the Democrats. Bring back MS-13. Bring back TDA. Bring back gangs. Bring back fentanyl. America last. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance of life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 on your phone and then say the keyword baby. Or you can donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.